Staff is Daf Kuf Lamed. We're holding a Tehillah Mishnah, and I'd like to point out to you that our Mishnah is, in a sense, a continuation, but also in a sense, a contradiction to the original Mishnah that was discussing the changing of the Seder and Achalot. If we remember, again, take a look at the Mishnah Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis that we discussed the last part of yesterday, but that began also. There's two issues there. First of all, Tomer Ish Ploni B'ni B'chor Lo Yitol Pishnayim. You can't change that because it's Matam Mashkatub Torah. Furthermore, HaMechalek Nechasav Al Piv. If he was Emer Mishum Yerusha, so if he's Riba Le'echad Miet La'acher Lo Amar Klum. Right? So in other words, it's important to note, not only can you not change the status of a B'chor, but what the Mishnah is saying is you cannot change the percentage of the Yerusha of a particular Bein Ben Habanim. So you can't discuss what this particular heir is going to receive. You could do it with a Lashon Matana. If you attempt to do it as a Yerusha, forget about it. Now, we knew all along that there was the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, which we're going to discuss today, according to whom, when the Pasuk says, Vayo b'yom hanchilo et banav, it's actually referring to a right that a Morish has to define the Chalukah Bein Hayorshim. Because otherwise it should say, B'yom shino chalu banav, Vayom yanchilu. I mean, he's not doing anything yanchilu, unless he really is doing something, and he can define it. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, one can write a will in a limited way, because you could only, apparently, I mean, that's what we've assumed, we have to see today, maybe we're wrong about that, but apparently, you can only choose among those who are going to anyway inherit. You can't give it to a stranger who wouldn't be in line to inherit. The amounts between the bonim, that's what we assumed all along with the government. Okay, hold, we're going to take a look at it today, again, because we have some strange indications in this Mishnah that something is amiss.
As a Yerusha?
But let's not jump the gun. I'm sorry, I shouldn't. It's because we mentioned it before, I mentioned it again. But why don't we wipe it from our minds so that we can look at it afresh as if we've never discussed it before. So, Omer Ish Ploni Rasheni. Let's say somebody chooses a stranger. When I say a stranger, I mean a stranger to the immediate nachla. It might be his brother or whatever, but a stranger in terms of who the Torah would see as in line for Yerusha. So even if there's just a daughter, but the daughter is in line for the Yerusha. Or he says, let my daughter inherit me where there is a son. So biti tirasheni b'makom sheyesh bein. Lo amar klum sheyitna amar shekatuv b'torah. Now, you'll notice that that's a clear contradiction to the first Mishnah. Why? Because the first Mishnah said that if he attempts to be riba le'echad, umiyet le'achad, lo amar klum. Here it says only if he attempts to change the order of the Yerusha and give it to somebody else who wasn't a Yoresh, lo amar klum. But had he attempted to divide it between those who are Yoshim, Bein Ben Habanim, or Bat Ben Habanot, then it would have been fine. So we have a contradiction in the Mishnayos. Okay, so that's the first clue that something's amiss, that we're going to have to figure out how these two Mishnayot interrelate. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, Im Amar Amishra Uyla Yorsho, if all he did was gave a different amount to someone who anyway was going to be Yorishim, Devarav Kayami, so then it's fine. It's only Al Misha'in Uyla Yorsho, now that makes no sense, because that's exactly what the Tanakhama just said. Remember that our diak in the Tanakhama was that if he gave to somebody who wasn't roy to be Yerushim, someone b'makom ben, or b'makom bat, or a bat b'makom ben, lo amar klum. Mashma, had he changed among those that were able to be Yerushim, then he was amar klum. Comes Rabbi Yochanan Broka, no, I disagree. Only if he says to someone who wasn't roy to Yerushim, lo amar klum. That's what I just said. So what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka disagreeing? So something is very weird over here. So in other words, the way that we understand this Mishnah is going to have to be taken into consideration along with the first Mishnah so that we can figure out how this whole two different Tanakhamas that seem to contradict each other, how do they tie in to the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka part? So we already see the data that's going to have to be examined here. Taima, so says the Gemara, I don't understand. Let's look at that first piece here, Omer Ish Ploni Yerushalayim, Lo Kam Sheyesh Bat. In other words, you're telling me that it's Dafka because it's someone else, because there's a Bat, right? Taima da Acher B'makom Bat, or a Dafka, if I chose a Bat, B'makom Bein. But suppose I had simply chosen a bat bein abanot or a bein bein abanim, then that's not a problem, right? No, a bein bein abanim or bat bein abanot. Dvorav kayamin. So then how do you explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha arguing? That's what he says. Ema seifa. Let's look at the next piece. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, on the contrary. I mean, he's aimer ima mara mishra uili or show dvorav kayamin. Only if he says it about someone who is in line to be Arishin. That's exactly what the Tanakhama just said. On the Tanakhama. Now, maybe you'll try to tell me, v'chitema, actually, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha meant afilu acher b'makom bat. Now, what he meant was even somebody else, and abak b'makom bein ka'ama. So, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha himself is not talking about Dafka, someone who is currently in line to be Yorish. That's not what he meant. He meant anybody who is ultimately in line to be Yorish. So let's say he gives to a grandson, even though the father is still alive. So his son is alive, and he decides he's giving to a grandson. A very common situation. Can't stand my son, but my delicious grandson. Right? This is very common in a will. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant. He meant you can't give it to a stranger, but you can certainly give it to the next in line, even though he's not currently in line. So that we were mistaking when he said, Al-Misha Ra'ui Li-Yarsho, we mistook that to mean someone who is right now in line to be Yorishim. He meant someone who is in line next generation to be Yorishim, and it skips a generation, it's also good. And that would explain the Machlokas with the Tanakhama. So then, if that were the case, so then maybe the point is that the real meaning, if we take a look now back at the Tanakhama, we would now understand that there's two different points in the Mishnah. It's not that there's a real contradiction over here. It's that the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says here, Ish ploni yirasheni b'mokum shiyesh bat, and then Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says, I disagree, the reason that the Tanakhama put it that way, that it's because it's someone else, b'mokom bat, is not because the Tanakhama holds that if it would be bein bein abanim, that it would be good. Because we know from the first mission that indeed he holds it wouldn't be good. So why then does he say that if you said it to someone else, it wouldn't be good? Because he wants you to bedafka understand that Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha does hold that it would still be good. So in other words, the two Mishnayos are really one. First, the Tanakhama says, look, here's my opinion. My opinion is, even if you would be marba to a ben bein abanim, it wouldn't be any good. Even if it's the ones that are currently in line, a father has absolutely no right to deal with Yerusha at all. It's not in his hands. Same as trying to change a bechor. That's my opinion. Lo amaklum. That became clear on Daf Kuf Kafav. Now, we come to the next Mishnah. If in the first Mishnah I would have said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Omer, Ima Maral, then I would have understood. What's the intent of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha? His intent is that, well, you're right, Tanakhama, if it would have been someone else, but if anyway the person was going to be Yorish, you can change it. But that would have been wrong. That's what you're trying to currently say. That would have been wrong. Because in reality, Rabbi Yochanan holds, you could jump over the father and give it to the grandson. In order to make that clear, we now state the safe of the mission, our mission. And furthermore, says the Tanakhama, not that this is a chiddush, I mean, zuv ein tzarich lomar zuv, that if you try to give it to a stranger, lo amar klum. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says, yes, even if it's a stranger in the sense of the current Yerusha, it's the grandson instead of the son. So that this Mishnah was being said, not as my final opinion of the Tanakhama, I already told you my final opinion. You can't tinker with the Yerusha at all. That was the first Mishnah. I mentioned this case in order to bring out that, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha argues even in this case, you see. So by making this argument in one fell swoop, we've explained all of the problems. The first Mishnah was coming to teach what it was the Tanakhama himself holds. The second Mishnah was really only coming to teach the Chiddush Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, but to make it clear that Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, it goes all the way and holds that you could even give it to someone who's not currently in line to be Yorish, like a grandson. Therefore, the Tanakhama spoke about a case where you're jumping to the next generation. You want to give it to a bat b'makom bein. If the bein wasn't there, the bat would have gotten. Comes on Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha and says, even in that case, he's theoretically capable of going to a bat. So give it to the bat. It's also your resha if the bein wouldn't be here. Maybe that's what you'll say, says the Gemara. V'chitem is all of that's in these words. V'chitem, and maybe you will try to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha actually personally holds bedafka, as we can see from this Mishnah. If he's arguing on the Tanakhama, then he's arguing even on giving it to somebody else, the next step or two steps, whatever, b'makom bat and bat b'makom bein ka'oma. No, we know for a fact that that's not true, because v'atanya, The Braita says that that's precisely what Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha does not hold. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, said, let's not misunderstand my father's opinion on this issue. Lo nechleku abba v'chachamim al acher b'mokom bat, or bat b'mokom ben shelo amar klum. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha indeed never meant to take his shita so far as to say you could tinker with the order of the Yerusha. All he was trying to say is you can tinker with the amounts of the Yerusha. That's all. Amanechliku al bein ben habanim, or bat ben habanot, were over there, abba omer yirash. The Chachamim Omrim lo yirash. So now we're back with our problem. So then what the Tanakhama here is saying in the Mishnah is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha was saying in the Mishnah. So now how do we explain it? Because it's not a pirish, it's a contradiction. What kind of pirish is it? Here it's saying only if it's an acher. Mashman, if it would be Bein HaBein HaBonim, it would be okay. So how do we explain the Tanakhama? Well, I mean, first of all, who's to say, actually, me thinketh that Rabbi Yishmael protested too much. What do you mean, lo nechlegu el? Excuse me, did anybody say otherwise? Apparently, yes. So in other words, the very fact that Rabbi Yishmael, Benoja, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, is making such a fuss over this, means that indeed the Tanakh of our Mishnah meant exactly what we thought he meant. That, no, Rabbi Yishmael's wrong. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha argued all the way, and therefore we bedavka set up the Mishnah in this striking fashion so that everybody should say, what? In order to understand, oh, you mean the only explanation for the second Mishnah was to contrast Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha even to a Tanakhama that speaks about an acher. Aha! That shows that the Tan of the Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. I mean, that's one possibility. I mean, Ibai Tema, the very fact that he said, quote, lo nechleku, etc., unquote. I mean, b'chlav the Tanakhama sover kein nechleku, right? I mean, otherwise, why would anybody say it? Why would anybody think otherwise? Must be that indeed our Mishnah is exactly saying what he said wasn't said. That's one possibility. Well, the only other possibility, not to have a contradiction in the Tanakhama, is to learn that our Tanakhama is not a Tanakhama. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha himself. And the way to do that is by putting in a shin. Share Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Omer. Maybe that's the point. So in other words, that would be like Rabbi Yishmael. Ibai Tema, we could say Kula, the whole last piece of the Mishnah, is going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. So this is what you should be reading in the Mishnah. Chesur mechas, v'avik tani. Ha'omer ish plodin yersheni b'makum sheish bat. Or b'titi rasheni b'makum sheish ben. Only there lo amaklum. But, ha bat ben abanot ben, that diak that we made. And put that in as if it's there. In other words, it's chasser, but it's meant for you to fill it in intelligently. The implications being that had you changed a ben abanim or a bat ben abanot, so then it would be fine. You could say, Imama Yirash Kol Nechasav, he chooses a particular child, gives them the whole thing, Dvarav Kayamin. Why would that be? It's clearly not the opinion of the previous Mishnah, which is the Reisha of this Mishnah. Why? Share Rabbi Yochanan Omer, because now I'm coming to tell you the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Share Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Im Amar, Amishra Uili Yosho, Dvarav Kayamin. And then that would be consistent with Rabbi Yishmael, and now everything would work out. Indeed, there is no Tanakhama in our Mishnah. The only Tanakhama in this set of Mishnayot is in the Reisha, meaning Akuchavav, the original Mishnah, where the Tanakhama clearly sets forth his de'a, that you cannot even be marba to one of the Yorshim, and that a father is completely passive about Yerusha. It's not in his hands. And this Mishnah is Kulay Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, Gufa, to teach what Rabbi Yishmael ben Asher Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha said. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, my father was only talking about a case where somebody wants to change, a bein ben abanim or a bat ben abanot, and he's doing it in a positive fashion, not a negative fashion, not disinheriting anyone. He's just saying this particular child should get a larger percentage, and if that larger percentage is 100%, unfortunately that leaves nothing for anybody else. Okay, so then he's bein manchilo et banav. So he's being positively manchil. Omer Yehuda Omer Shmuel Yishna Alocha Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Indeed, we paskin that way the mashma'ut of the simple reading of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Mishra Uyla Yorsho, that is to say, the first current generation of whoever is about to be Yorishim, that's the simple meaning of of the Rabbi Yochanan ben Boka, and therefore it is correct to take this last Ibayit Ema, which anyway is generally the way of Psak, we take the latest of the Ibayit Ema, and this is the simplest way of learning it. Not that the Tanakhama is repeated twice and one way is misleading, but it's only there to teach me Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and that's Keneged Rabbi Shmuel. I mean, that's got a lot of strikes against it. We'll take the Parsha, the meaning of the Mishnah, whatever was Chisur and Mechasur. After all, we looked at the Mishnah and it was immediately clear to us that something, we need to insert that little piece. So we insert it. Okay, now everything makes sense. And we Paskin like that, V'chein Omar Rava, Halachic Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and everything now fits in. Omar Rava, let me explain to you the logic. I mean, what does he base his din on, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that a father is not a passive morish, but rather an active morish? Because Omar Krava Hayah Biyom Hanchilo et Banav. Now, Hanchilo means that he is the active verb to the object of the verb et Banav. Now, how in the heck can you be an actively manchil? There's no if-il over here on Yerusha, is there? Clearly there is. HaTorah natna reshut la'av lehanchil l'kol mi sheyirtzeh. That means that the father is empowered to actually bequeath, not as a gift. Anybody can give a gift, but the father here is empowered to bequeath to his sons. Omele Abaye. Now Abaye has a fantastic diyuk. Abaye says, I don't need the Pasuk to tell me that, because if the Pasuk said about the Bechor, Lo yuchal levaker es habechor of the ben ha'ahuva pnei ben hasnua. So then you're telling me the only thing that a father cannot do is to change the primogenitor. But he could certainly deal with a pashut. Isn't that the simple meaning? I mean, otherwise, why do I need to discuss whether he could change the bechor? If, in fact, the father is passive in Yerusha, so then it has nothing to do with whether he's a Bechor or whether he's a Pashat. This is what the Torah said. Somebody attempts to change it. It's like anything else. It's like a Matne, a Mashikatu B'Torah, period. That's all. But every time we have our law from the Torah has to say, and you can't do it other than that. Well, I mean, that's what it means. That's what Matne, Mashikatu B'Torah means. So the very fact that you're going out of your way to tell me, well, you should know you can't do it by a Bechor, means you can do it by a Pashat. So why would I need my Yabiyom Antchilo at Banav? So in other words, basically, now, what Abaye is pointing out is that the story of Yerusha in the Torah, this whole funny little story about a guy who has two wives, achat ha'uva, achat snua, which is very unusual in the whole way that it's presented, is actually showing you two completely different issues, one of which creates, according to what you're saying, Rabbi Yochanan, one of which creates the idea that there's a capability of a father to be involved in a Yerusha. And then the other side of it is, but not when it comes to identifying which one is the Bechor. So there's two contradictory elements. Those contradictory elements, L'maisa Taina Zabaya, should be able to be derived just from the fact that we address what you cannot do, which is the Bechor. You don't need to tell me specifically what you can do, do you? So why can't I learn that out directly from the fact that I can't change the Bechorah? Ah, says the Gemara, you see, no. Because ahumi boile, I need both of these. It's actually the tension that's created between the two elements that a father does have an ability to be morish, a pashut, and does not have ability to be unseat a Bechor. That's where, between the two, the halachot become clear, as Abba Chanan pointed out. But Kiritanya, Abba Chanan omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Ma Talmud lomar lo yuchal levaker. What's the need to tell me? I mean, it says that Abba Chor ben Asnua yakir. So what do you mean, lo yuchal levaker? The point is that because you've already introduced the fact that a father does have the power to be morish his children, whatever he wants, I would have thought, if that's the case, he can certainly redefine the Bechor. Because after all, the Bechor has far less power in terms of what the Chelek HaBechor comes from than the Poshet does, right? I mean, the Bechor is only Yorish directly from what's in the Rishus of the father. The Pashut actually takes the place of the father. So logically speaking, you'd say to yourself, what does that imply? That implies that a Bechor is actually getting from his father, whereas a Pashut is taking the place of the father. Therefore, it should be far more rationally reasonable to change what it is that I want to give a bechor, whereas the pashut is simply in my stead. So I can't do anything about that. Either he is in my stead or not in my stead. That's what I would have thought. So I would have come along now and said, well, I mean, so then it's a kal vachomer, isn't it? If a pashut, who is certainly more powerful than a bechor, in the sense that remember, a pashut is also a bechor, in his chelek ha-pashut. Bechor is also a pashut. When we say pashut, we mean the chelek of the pashut versus the chelek of the bechor. We're not talking about a person. We're talking about a chelek. So if the pashut is yafeh kocho, because that chelek of the pashut, he's noto baroike bimuchzak. The father doesn't even have to be in possession of it for the child to inherit it. So that means that the child is instead of the father. And nonetheless, it says, biyom hanchilo et banav, which means that the Torah gave reshut to an av, lahanchilo chol mi shiyirtze. So obviously the bechor, meaning the chelek of the bechor, shuhura kocho, over there is much weaker in terms of the sense of Yerusha than a pashut is, because eino notel baroike b'muchzak. So then, koshike, no? Therefore, I need to say, Talmud lomar lo yuchal levaker. Now, you'll ask exactly what Abaye asked, continues the Braisa. V'yomar lo yuchal levaker. So then, I mean, wouldn't I see that from lo yuchal levaker? Once you tell me what I can't do, don't I understand that, but when it would come to a pashut, I could? No! On the contrary, because what I would come out to say is, sheyochav alo dinu. If a bechor is, which is very weak, it's eino notel baroike b'muchzak, nonetheless, amra Torah lo yuchal avaker. So a pashut, which is much more of a Yerusha, and therefore should be much less in my hands to define, because it's yafeh kocho, shenotel baroike b'muchzak, lo ko shekein, Talmud lomar v'aya b'yom anchilo et banav, HaTorah natna reshut la'av, la'anchil l'chol mi shiyirtzeh. Now Tosis points out that what this essentially means, especially since we haven't addressed the need for this according to the Rabbanan, we're only addressing the need according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Look, what will the Rabbanan do with all of this if they don't even hold that there is such a thing as being manchil et banav, v'derech Yerusha? Therefore, points out Tosfos, this is not simply a relative discussion, meaning the relative merits of the chelek bechorah to the merits of the chelek haposhet. It's an absolute discussion, in the sense that if the Torah makes this distinction between a bechor in ra'ui and a bechor in muhzak, and the Torah says that you only give a bechor what's muhzak, that would have said to me objectively, without looking at what the chelek bechorah is, that basically the Bechor is taking from the father, but not getting in the place of the father. If, and that of course we saw before with the words latet lo pishnayim, that it's a getter of matana that he can reject, so that it's really coming to him from the father. Over here, the Torah therefore would be implying that a Bechor who takes from a father is dependent on the father's vision of what he wants to give him. In the same way that what isn't in the rishus of the father doesn't even go to the bechor because he's not neitel baroike b'muchzak, so too what the father says, well, I'm not holding on to that for that kid, is the equivalent of being roi in a neitel baroike b'muchzak. I'm not muzik in that for you. I don't want to be muzik in that for you. I don't want to be latet lo pishnayim. So that I would have said objectively. Therefore, I need to address that no matter what, lo yuchal levaker, despite the fact that the halacha is that eino noto baroike b'muchzak, you need to know that does not mean that effectively it's the father that's going to be giving it to him. Now, once that's true and that's a given, now we got a problem. Because then I can start making a kal vachomer with the other banim, to which, aliba de Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, we would say that's precisely what the Torah is coming to tell me. Don't make that kal vachomer. There are two completely different elements over here, even though they are counterintuitive. They're totally counterintuitive. The one that seems to be out of your hands is in your hands, and the one that seems to be in your hands is out of your hands. So in other words, the relationship to the child is the precise opposite of the relationship of Yerusha to the parent. So vis-a-vis the child now, he's eimed b'makom the av, but vis-a-vis the parent has to put him in that position. Vis-a-vis the bechor, he's taking from the father. But as far as the parent is concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the father. So it's a very different way of looking at it. That's why, Abaye, we can't simply start with one and not have the other. So now we understand why we need both of these psukim, precisely to clarify that tension between the two types of Yerusha. Yes. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, he can give everything to the Ahuva, to the son of the Ahuva. So, now you understand the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Omer Reb Zrika, Omer Reb Ami, Omer Reb Hanina, Omer Rabbi, Halachak Reb Yochanan ben Broka, again confirming the halacha, to which Reb Abba said to Reb Zrika, that's not how I heard it. I heard it, Hora Itma. That Rebbe that you're quoting over here as the ultimate source of this, he didn't say halachak Reb Yochanan ben Broka. He actually went ahead and was more in his Beit Din, like Reb Yochanan ben Broka, in a case where someone had split the Yerusha differently between his sons. Now, what are they arguing about? I mean, each one seems to be saying that you can rely on Rebbe's chazak in this issue. Ah, the question is, what is a more powerful way of giving over psak halacha? Halacha ke or hora ke? That's the question. So, b'maika miflege, mar savar halacha adifa, umar savar ma'asei rav. One man, the Omar, says, the very fact that you pask in a halacha and you say this would be the halacha is far more a basis to rely than a psak of Beit Din. How could that be? Because as you are not aware of all of the issues of the diyun in the Beit Din, how do you know what the psak was about? For instance, in this case, maybe the real issue that had been brought to court was that the phrasing of the will was in terms of Yerusha, but that the context of the writing of the will, he had mentioned matana. So maybe the Beis Din had paskin that the matana that was mentioned was the real meaning of the shtar that was written. For instance, big chiddush of a psak. You, not even occurring to you that such a thing is possible, you see the Beis Din is motzi a psak based on a will that's not a living will, and you say, well, apparently Allah is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, when actually that wasn't even the issue in the court. Mamela, how can you rely on a hora? Because you don't know what was taken into consideration on the hora. On the other hand, if Rebbe says beferish to you, the halacha is, we follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, then there's no mistake to be made. Whereas the other Madiyama says on the contrary, ma'aseh rav. I mean, Rebbe might have been saying halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in the sense of, it currently appears to me that. I mean, but, you know, this foolish consistency is a mere habgam. So tomorrow, if you ask me, I may tell you halacha is like the chachami. Now, can I rely on a psak of someone who is still considering the issue?
Kanarabana. Ein lebedim halacha lo mipi limud velo mipi ma'ase. So we do not get halacha lamaisa from something that was derech limud. So I was in the middle of being mavar the sugya, the girsa of the Rashbam of Yerush lo mipi gemara, which means that as the Rav is now being going through a sugya and being masbir that he thinks such and such an approach is good, you can't learn that halacha lamaisa because it may well be that he could afford to be lax about his first impressions, and then if it would have come lamaisa, he might have rethought that opinion. If we have the gears of limud mamish, then Rashi is masbir limud in the Masechta Seita means that it's mitech the limud of the Mishnah, because after all, a Mishnah you cannot really rely on, because very often it's a das yachid, like we say, ha-money, chidoyi, or we have machlokas v'achastam stam, or maybe we have it's dependent in a machlokas, and sometimes the time of the Mishnah isn't clear, and so on. So, memela, you can't learn from a Mishnah or from a baisa. So these are two different approaches, but the maisa, they are fundamentally interrelated. In other words, anything that isn't meant to be something that has gone through peer review and that has needed now an actual psak lamaisa is not reliable. Now, this is also true about a psak in a Mishnah, which is another way of understanding mitoch limud, meaning mitoch ha-Mishnah, where the Mishnah paskins halacha kit so-and-so. There, too, the way Rashi puts it in Nida is that lamaisa, the tzuras ha-Mishnayis and ha-Braisas, are each mandiyamar giving over his kabbalah in the way that he was understanding halacha, but it was never the result of the peer review in which each one attacked the other's opinion and so on. That's what we call Gemara, not Mishnah. And that was the last of the Amoraim that were most medactic in the svar of the various Tanoim. Hashem Kain, the original Dereis were far more interested in preserving the data that had been giving over, rather than asking questions about the contradictions, trying to resolve things, trying to get to the bottom of the svaras, and so on. And so because of that, even where a Mishnah or a Braisa Paskins Beferish, halacha as this is not something that can be relied upon. Of course, as the Rashbam points out, when it comes to a halacha that is mentioned in the Gemara Hilchata, that is very, very different than a halacha that's mentioned in a Mishnah, and that we certainly would rely on, because Rav Ash and Ravina are so for Ra'ah. So, I mean, if you're not going to accept that, the halacha that's Psuka in the Gemara, along the final way that Rav Ash was Masada the Gemara, then what are you going to accept? I mean, that really is the final Beit Din, and therefore that is the most Mechayev halacha that you really could have. Continues the Gemara, furthermore, you cannot learn mipi ma'aseh in a case that an actual psak takes place. You can't rely on that psak. Now, this is similar to the horah, because since there might have been other issues that were involved in that psak that you're not aware of, you can't possibly rely on it. And basically, as Rashbam points out, very often a Gemara does that. We say, what so-and-so said, la v'feresh itmar ela michlala itmar. I mean, that michlala itmar is something that very often turns out to be wrong, as the Gemara says, he's imich olamai, and then it goes on to explain why it was misunderstood, and there were other issues that were taken into consideration, we didn't know all the dinim in the case, and so on and so forth. So you can't rely on that either. The only time that you can actually rely on a psak is achi omrulo halakha lamaaseh, where either you actually brought a maaseh, and you were the one who presented the data, in which case it's on the basis of these data that the psak was made. And you can't say, well, maybe there was something else taken into consideration, because you were the presenter of the data. And therefore, in that case, there's nothing to be taya. Or, some learn where the Rav says specifically, I'm telling you this halacha to go out and use it l'ma'aseh. Now, in such a case, yelech v'yaseh ma'aseh, and you don't have to continue to ask each time, thinking that maybe he changed his mind, and there's a new way to look at it. You have a right to be samech and halacha l'ma'aseh, u'bilvad shelo yedameh. But this is on condition that you don't start comparing one case to another. You can only apply to an exactly similar case. Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. What do you mean, bilvad shelo yedameh? I mean, I thought the whole point of Torah is that it's not a list of things. The whole point of Torah is that I can derive an understanding of principles from specifics. So, I mean, if you tell me shelo yedameh, I might as well give up. I mean, there's an infinity of possible things I'd have to paskin. Well, kol ha-Torah kula dumuyi medamin alat. Isn't that the whole meaning of Torah? That it gives us the principles, or it gives us the data from which we can understand the principles? Says the Gemara, of course, it couldn't possibly mean that. Omer of Ashi, the implications over here are something completely different. Wasn't referring to general case of needing to have exactly the halacha. The point over here is achikam ubevat shelo yedameh b'treifot. There is a specific area where you cannot utilize a case as a model for other cases, and that's because simply the logistics of each particular case are absolutely unique. And that's when it comes to medical issues. So if you're talking about treifot, it's like we say in the Braita, the Tanya, Ein omrim b'treifot zu doma lazu. We do not say when it comes to treifot, well, I mean, this is the same kind of organic problem, isn't it? So if I learned that it's kosher in the lungs, so I should certainly be able to say it's kosher in the liver too. No, that's an absurd statement. You never say that. Ein omrim b'treifot zu doma lazu. And after tomorrow, that, is that strange to you? I mean, take a look at the simple realities. You can cut an organism in one place, and it's going to die. You can do exactly the same cut, but in a slightly different location, even in the same organ, as Tosis points out. You know, for instance, it'll depend where in the spleen you're going to cut it, whether it's going to be a minor issue or a major issue, and it's just an inch apart. So you can cut it somewhere else for chayta. So obviously there are no rules about the way in which you cut something. It's the, all of the issues together that are absolutely important, and therefore you, there's no way to take it as a rule about some other thing which is similar. Similar is not enough. Omele Rabasi le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabasi asked Rabbi Yochanan how he should relate to the way that Rabbi Yochanan gives over halacha. Ki omelan mar halacha hach. If you tell us, Rabbi, such and such is the halacha, can we rely on that to actually do a ma'aseh? In other words, do you mean, when you paskin, do you mean halacha l'ma'aseh every time? Said Rav Yochanan, absolutely not. Lo ta'avidu, you should never rely on something that I said theoretically. Ad de'amina, unless I say to you halacha l'ma'aseh. This is the halacha, and you can go out and do this now in practice. Omlo Rava, the Rav Papa, the Ravuna Breda of Yeshua. Rava said to his Talmidim, Rav Papa and Ravuna Breda of Yeshua, he said to them like this, Ki ati, piska de dina didi le kamaycho. If you get now a psak din from my bezdin, and this person is coming to you, let's say, to collect property or money that comes according to a psak that is due to him through my beitin. And it seems to you that it makes no sense. So, chazita beit pircha, you see that it's not reasonable. Lo tikra uhu ad yatitu le kamay. Do not tear up that psak din unless you came to me and consult about it. Because even if you are convinced that it's an absolute toz bedina, and an absolute toz would be chaser, and therefore we wouldn't be able to carry out the psak halacha of the bedin, you don't know that it really is an absolute ta'ut. You just disagree. But, I mean, if you'd come to me and you present it to me, I may very well be able to show you why I'm right and you're wrong. So, if I have a reason that defends what I've done, I can explain it to you, and then you may turn around and agree with me. And if not, then I'll take it back myself. So it's only good for both of us if you're going to come now and consult on this. However, if after I died, liachar mita, so over there, obviously, it'll be difficult for me to communicate. So, lo mikra tikra uhu. Nonetheless, do not rip up the psak din and cancel it, claiming it was a mistake. And respect it, because of the fact that I might have been able to defend it. And that you can't think that I don't know what I'm talking about, since I have a good reputation, and I might well have explained it to you, so you don't really have a basis to say it's wrong. To tear it up and to cancel my psak. On the other hand, you certainly don't have a right to rely on it when a similar psak comes to your beit din. You have to do what makes sense to you. That's a different issue. So, lo mikra tikra inu, but on the other hand, umigmar lo tigmar minei. Of course, you can't use it as a basis and say, well, doesn't make sense to us, but undoubtedly a great man like Rabban knew exactly what he was doing. No, that's not true. Lo mikra tikrinu. On the one hand, you can't cancel the psak din being convinced it's a ta'ut. Because di avoyatam di omahavi amin alchutayma. I may well have been able to explain myself to you, and that you would then understand that, you know what, he was right, and we were wrong. So you can't really be sure without having examined it properly that you haven't figured out, that you won't figure out a reason why I'm right. But of course, if lamaisa, after thinking about it, you still think it's wrong, then don't use it as a precedent. You're not allowed to apply precedents that make no sense. You're supposed to use your own judgment. And that's in the Dayan, Elamashe Navroot, that we learn out from a pasuk actually, that Imchad Bidvar HaMishpat, that means in the Dayan, Elamashe Navroot, the person has to see the way that he sees it as the presence of the din. And that's the only right that you have. So you cannot start now speculating about, well, you know, if he would have told me, maybe it would have been different. What do you mean, maybe? Right now, this is the data that you have, and that's it. And that's the only thing you have a right to work on. So this doesn't mean certainly what some people nowadays do. Well, you know, I can't argue against the psak of so-and-so in the previous door, even though it doesn't seem to make any sense. That's wrong. Of course you can argue, and you must argue. The only thing is that you don't reverse a psak din just because it doesn't make sense to you, which, of course, is exactly what people also do today. Hi, Marish Plani Rashani Mamakam Shesh Ba the Biti Tirashin Mamakam Shesh Bain Lo Maklum Shitana Mashikatu Batora Rabbi Yochanan Membroka Omer. Actually, Imamar Amisha Roile Osho, Dvarav Kayami, Amishaino Roile Osho, Ain Dvarav Kayami. So now the whole point of the Mishnah is time at the Acher Bamakam Bat or Abad Bamakam Ben. But to choose Bein Ben Abanim, or Bad Ben Abanod, Dvarav Kayamin. But then, Ema Sefer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Amir Marma Marish, Amish Ro'ili, or Shor, Dvarav Kayamin. But then, that's exactly the same thing as the Tanakh said. The Chitim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, means Acher, even Acher B'mokom Bat, or Bat B'mokom Ben Ka'amir. He didn't mean the guy that's currently directly in line. But Tanya, Rabbi Shroman Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Amir, let's make it clear. Lo nechleku abba v'chachomim al acher b'makom bat, or bat b'makom bein. We're over there, lo amar klum. That he also agrees. Amar nechleku abbein ben abanim. U bat ben abanot. Exactly. There, abba amir yirash. V'chachomim amirim lo yirash. As the previous Mishnah makes it clear. Well, first of all, ibayt eima. If Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Broka is making such a fuss about lo nechleku, then it's pretty clear that somebody doesn't agree, right? So mechlal the Tanakam is over nechleku. Well, you know what? It could be by tema kule Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Broka, and this is there is no Tanakam. And maybe chisra mechas v'achik tani omer ish ploni yirsheni b'mokam sheish bat b'titah shem rakam sheish ben lo amar klum. But now insert the words ha bat ben abanot ben ben abanim imamar yirash konek asayd v'av kayamim, and now put in the shin she. Now back to the Mishnah, she Rabbi Yochanan omer imamar mishroi liyorsha devar v'av kayamim om Rabbi Yudom Rishmel aloch Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka v'chein omer Rava aloch Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Omar Rava, my time, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Omar Krova, Yobe Yom Anchilot, Banav, Torah, Natanav, Rishut, La'av, La'anchil, L'chol, Mishir, Tse, Omar, Abaye. I would have known that from Lo Yuchal, Levaker, Nafka. So, Dafka, Levaker, but a Poshet, he could, no? No. Because I'm going to be boiling the Kitanya. Abba Hanan, Omar, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer. Ma, Talmud, Lomar, Lo Yuchal, Levaker. And that certainly a bechor. Shura koko sheino notel baroi kemuzak. Well, kosher can. Talmud lomar lo yuchal levaker. Now you'll say so. Then vayamer lo yuchal levaker. Batavad lama vayab yom anchilod banav. Shayokov alodinu, ma bechor shurako, choshin on otobroik of a muzik, nonetheless on the Torah, lo yukalava cares, is certainly a poshet, which is having a stronger sense of inheritance. Shayafeko choshin otobroik of a muzik, lo koshike, tomudomava yaba yom and chilo at banav, hatoranat and rashut lavlan chilo komi shayirtse, omrib zrika, omrib ami, omrib chanina, omarabi, alog rabbi yochanan, membroka, omrib rababa. That's not what he said. I was told he said, Hora, Yitma. But my commute, for Gemar Sava Alacha Adifa, Gemar Sava Maase Rav. Tana Rabban and Ain Lamedim Alacha Lomipi Limud, Lomipi Maase, Shomelo, Alacha Lamaase, Sha'al Vomalo Alacha Lamaase, Yelech Vyase Maase, Ubavat Shalo Yudame, Mayo Bavat Shalo Yudame, what do you mean? Akola Terakula de Moyud Menamina. I'm Ravashi Okikamu, Bavat Shalo Yudame, betray fault. The Tanya Enum Rim betray for the Zodomalazo. The Altatame Sharechot Kamikan Vameta Chot Kamikan Vachaita. Omele Rabbatsu Biochanan. Kiomelon Mar Halocha. So, what should we do? Say Haki Neva Ad Maisa? Omelo Tavido Adamina Halocha La Maisa. Omele Reveler of Popol, Ravuna Bereder of Yoshua. Ki Ati Paske de Dina Didi. Lekamaichu. Vachazitu Be Pircha Lotikra Uhu. Because it's very possible, and that would have been good. On the other hand,